while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Wow, wow, wow. Let me just say this. It's always good to come into a church and there's a refreshing. And when I say refreshing, I've had the opportunity of standing in front in, you know, big churches and small churches, but there are four things I do in life. I turned 60 last September. Don't all shout. I know I don't look it, but yeah. You know. I turned 60 last year, and I told God that going forward, I wanted to do four things, and they fall into what I call the E category. So I want to engage, encourage, equip, and empower people every single day of my life, right? And somebody asked why. I said, that's what Jesus did, right? For the first 60 part of my years, I've been in corporate and working and making money as you do, right? But I got to a point where I thought, God, you've taken care of me this long. I need to give back, right? I've known Digi now for, as I said, it's more than 35 years, as a matter of fact. But there was a window whereby we lost touch. But the funny thing was, you got Facebook and all this kind of thing. So I always kind of knew where he was in the world, if you know what I mean. You know, and I would just give him that odd call. But we kind of re-engaged a few years ago. And then when our son, Nii, went to be with the Lord, we kind of engaged again. And I knew at one stage I would be standing here. And I thank God for where he has been. We kind of all grew up under a Pentecostal ministry back in East London, back in the day. And back then, you were taught the word. You literally, we didn't have all the iPhones and whatever then. So it was literally, you come in for discipleship class and you read for whatever. And I was telling him earlier on that I remember then, 7 days a week, I was in church. And I came from a background that has always been music. So I used to sing in the world, even before I got born again. So I used to write songs like Sexy Lady and... I'll leave it there, let's not say anymore. But I used to write those kind of songs. But I came into church and the first ministry I got into was music. And funny enough, Digi was the keyboardist. And I think he was the praise and worship leader then as well. And that's how we kind of engaged. And I've always been into music. Just recently as well, there was a project that came out that I kind of linked up with him with and said, this song is going out and stuff. So one of the things I'd loved about today was when our sister Pauline was it? That came up and, you know, A to Z, names of Jesus. You don't see that. You don't do that in church. It's regimented. You know what I mean? Do praise and worship. Do everything is regimented. Yeah, but here you flow. You engage. And that's one thing I've realized when you read the scriptures. Jesus always engaged with the people. So it's always great to come into a church like this and, you know, have the opportunity to share. And yesterday I was preparing the word, but as I was sitting down and I was praying with a sister here, I thank God that yesterday is Mother's Day. And if you can keep me honest, those at the back, that when it's about 10 minutes to my time up, I think I've got about 30, 40 minutes, 10 minutes to my time up, just let me know. Would like to again just pray for all the mothers, please. I remember when I first came into church, I felt a bit disjointed, right? You can come into a church and everybody's just looking at the front and everybody's, you know, but there's something about, you don't know how somebody slept last night and how they woke up this morning. We all look at faces and we've got smiles on our faces. We all look good. Some people, maybe they're owing rent. Some people were in the hospital yesterday. And I say something to people every day. I said, listen, in the hospital, if you go to the hospital, there are people that are willing to take your place right now. There are people that cannot breathe without an oxygen tank being carried around. As a matter of fact, there was a young guy some years ago that had an artificial heart that he carried around every day. He was muscle building, everything, but you would not know just by looking at him. So I want us to take a few minutes to just thank God for where you are today. You might not have everything that you desire, but the Bible tells us something. In the book of Psalms 37 and verse 4, it says, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he will give us the desires of our heart. Those are your dreams and desires. But guess what? He's taking care of everything else. Why? He will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. So every need you have right now has already been supplied. The dreams, the desires, as you delight yourself in the Lord. For instance, One question I always ask people, when you wake up in the morning, what is it you do first? Do you pick up your phone? Oh yeah, I'm sure 90%, 95% does pick up our phone first, you know, look at the messages. Or do you, I say this all the time, when you swing your feet off the bed, if you don't fall under your own weight, give God the glory. Because there are some people without a walking chair or whatever else, because you breathe, even this air that you take, don't take it for granted, because the next difference between you and a dead person is the next breath you take. So I always say it, give thanks to God. Quite a few of the songs that they sang this morning, as I said, I'm a music person. I've always been a music person. About four of the songs they sang this morning, there were songs I actually spoke to Pastor. See, calling my own name is a bit hard. You know what I mean? Pastor, did you? You know, it was one of about four of those songs, so I knew I was in the right place even before I came here. So I just want us to take a few minutes just to thank God. No matter what it is, you might be facing eviction, you might have marriage issues, just thank Him for where you are and He will take care of the rest. Like they say, 1,000 steps starts with the first step. So just close your eyes for a moment and just thank Him. Some people think it's hard, but God is an easy God. Just close your eyes where you are and say, under your own breath, you know what you're going through. Say, Lord, I thank you for where I am today. I'm alive. I'm living. I'm breathing. I'm seeing. I'm moving. I have a job. I have food on my table. Father, I thank you for your goodness and your grace this morning. Just thank him. Just thank him. I can't hear anybody. I can't hear anybody. Remember, death and life is in the power of the tongue. If you don't speak, God cannot do anything. Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you for where I am today. I don't have everything that I desire, oh Lord God, but you've supplied all my needs, oh Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your goodness and your grace, Lord, this morning. In Jesus' name. If that's all you do every morning, folks, you'd be surprised. If you start your day with God, watch how it goes. If you read the Bible carefully, the Bible says that Jesus woke early in the morning, every morning, before the traders. Traders used to wake up about 4 a.m., around about that. He was up maybe about 2 a.m. And a lot of times when you read the scriptures, it tells you that he will set himself apart from everyone else so that he's not distracted, right? And that's the reason. There's no better time than first thing in the morning. Instead of rushing off, going to work, whatever, take a few minutes just to thank God for where you are. Thank him for that job you have. Thank him for the promotion that you're seeking. Amen? Amen? Always give God the glory and watch how we would take. I always say something. I said, if you give God your morning, he will take care of your day. If you give God your week, he will take care of your month. If you give God your month, he will take care of your years. So always check that box in the morning. I put together a message today, and it was around Mother's Day, to be honest with you. But like I was telling Pastor Deji, this morning, I said, I just sense God is leading in a direction. I don't know what it is. God keeps taking me back to that point that you might be struggling somewhere right now. Things are not going according to plan. Take a thought of Hannah. How many of you remember Hannah? Hannah that didn't have a child, and the other wives used to mock her. The other wives used to mock her. She didn't have a child. And there was one point where the Bible tells us that the priest was thinking that she was drunk because her utterance he could not understand. And the Bible says that she consistently prayed to God. Then God gave her a son. Not just a son. She had about 4 other children. But the one we know, God gave her a son. What I'm trying to say here is that you might be after something right now and it's not yet manifested. You might have been praying for a while, but in the consistency, God has already made a way, right? I'd say it again, in the consistency, whatever you're seeking, whatever you're looking for, God has already made a way. Amen? Amen. Right, I'm going to just open with a key statement here around motherhood. It says, motherhood is one of God's most powerful instruments for shaping destinies and building godly generations. Throughout scripture, God used mothers to nurture faith, preserve purpose, and guide future leaders. The influence of a mother often extends far beyond the home, affecting communities and nations. When a mother walks with God, her prayers, her teachings, her sacrifices become tools through which God molds lives and fulfills his divine purpose. Amen? The task that mothers have been given is not an easy task, right? And I applaud all mothers. I applaud mothers, married, single, divorced. It's a tough job, especially in this current time where the internet is at the grasp of your children. And, you know, I always say it, keep your children busy. I remember even when I was young, my mom and my dad, after we finished school, 3-4 o'clock, we're already in, lessons or second classes. So they keep us busy. We're doing judo, we're doing taekwondo. So you don't have the option. You don't have the time to be distracted. And unfortunately, the way society is at the moment, it allows for those loopholes. That's not the way God made things, right? God made it in such a way that you need to engage your children, especially in this current day. Right, motherhood is a divine calling by God. Motherhood is not accidental. It is sacred, responsibility given by God. God entrusts mothers with nurturing and the shaping of their next generation. Book of Psalms 127 verse 3 says this, children are a heritage from God, the fruit of the womb, a reward. I remember when growing up, I learned something, well, I wouldn't say when I was growing up I learned it, I think when I became more of an adult I learned it, that your parents, they teach you the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? Let me say that again. Your parents teach you the good, the bad, and the ugly, not just by what they say, but by what they do. They're arguing in the house. Put it like this. In my house, so we made up our mind, my wife and I, as I said, if you've been married as long as I have, even before I think of something, my wife already knows, right? Women are that way in tuned. Before I've opened up my mouth or she sees a look on my face, she already has an idea, right? And if you think about that, you think that becomes, it's an issue whereby you think you know the person too much. So you're like, there's no more, you know, happiness or engagement, whatever. But here's the thing about it. Life will never give you what you deserve. Life will never give you what you deserve, only what you demand. Think about when you were back in school. If you didn't study those books, you would not pass the exam, right? The same thing in life. This Bible, book of 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is inspired by God. This Bible is life's lessons. All the little stories and everything you read in there. Take for instance, in the book of Genesis, right at the very beginning, the Bible says that God was going across the earth and it was void and dark. And then he said, let there be light. He didn't say what he saw. He said what he desired. If there's things that you are desiring right now, don't say the opposite. Say what you want. Keep saying what you want. And that's what the Bible tells us. That's what God wants us to do. The Bible says, book of Proverbs 18:21, that death and life are in the power of our tongue. You have what you say. Amplify says, you bear the fruit of which you speak. So if you have a child, for instance, like a mother has a child, if she says, oh, you're never going to amount to nothing, guess what's going to happen? She keeps saying that, keeps saying that. Don't be surprised that in 20 years' time, that child has not amounted to nothing. That's why the Bible says, be slow to anger. When you're in an angry state, watch what you say. Because again, that child is hearing it. And the hearing of that word, they become that word, right? So please, brothers and sisters, mothers especially, watch how you teach your children. Like I was saying before, good, the bad, and the ugly. I learned from my dad many years ago, and when you think back, dads those days, they were more, yes, they were the head of the home, but they were more the breadwinners as opposed to today, right? When you look at today, even wives are out earning the husbands, correct? So if you don't have a strong husband or you don't have a strong wife, you guys can clash. You guys can clash. But here's the thing. The truth about the matter is, I watched my dad how many times, because he was of that generation that what he said goes, and the wife didn't really have a say. I don't know, some of you might know about that. That's how it was back then. Because they were the breadwinners, they felt they could say what they want, do what they want, behave the way they want, right? And a lot of times it was wrong. And I would see my mother crying in the corner many times, and I used to wonder why. So when I got into my teenage years, I started reading books. So before I got married, and I dated my wife for about 5 years before we got married, I read a lot of books on marriage. Why is it that marriages break down? And that's it's the same thing. How can you be successful? The Bible talks about knowledge. Gain knowledge. But God has given you the power to get wealth. He will not give you the wealth. He will give you the power to get wealth. He will give you, Hebrews says, he will give you the skill to get wealth. So look. I mean, in Africans generally, if you're not a doctor, an engineer, or a scientist, or whatever, you've lost it, right? I'm sure a lot of us can point to that fact. But God is such a wonderful God that nowadays footballers, I remember my dad used to be a footballer late in the 50s, 60s. So when I got into football, and I was quite good at the time, dad said, nah, it's not going to get to anything. When I told my dad that one guy is earning money that, you know, he's 1 week pay, he can buy a house. My dad was like, how? For kicking a ball. My dad couldn't be, and my dad was, you know, was a captain, he did everything. He could not believe it. Because nowadays, you see, even online, and this generation, they need to make use of all this AI and whatever's going on. It's not going away. It's not going away. You need to sit down, and I in my part time, I find time to encourage the youth to study what's coming out. It's been said already that there are going to be a lot more multimillionaires in this AI time than there has ever been. So if you've got children, teach them, show them the way. Like these mothers, I was saying here, for instance, you learn the good, the bad, and the ugly from your parents. My dad, as I said, he was a very hard person, was more like a captain in the boat, right? My mom did something wrong, you know, it was physical, whatever. So when I now started dating my wife, I had already learned some of those concepts. And I remember reading a book about men and women are different by a pastor in New York then. And he said, take for example, when a woman goes into a supermarket is different from when a man goes into a supermarket, right? When a man goes into a supermarket, he's long like Tom Cruise, Mission Impossible. He's got his list of assignments, and that's all he's going to do. He gets back home, and the missus says, oh, you didn't buy the oil. It's not on the list. I'm sure a lot of us can, I mean, your husbands, your missus have sent you out before, you know. But why a woman's, you know, they're different. As they're walking in, they're greeting the flower lady. A man will never do that. As they're walking in, they bump into cashier, they know them by name, they talk to them. And you're wondering, a woman is different. She has a list. By the time she comes back, she's bought twice what was supposed to be on that list. Men and women are different. A man wants to go and buy shoes. He knows the size he wants to buy. He knows the color he wants to buy. The husband and wife go, okay, I'm going to go to Sloane Street. I'm going to Oxford Street. We meet back here in 30 minutes. 3 hours later, the husband is still waiting at the point where they said they will meet. And she comes with all these clothes, only to return them the next day. Men and women are different. So that's one of the key things I'm trying to say. Understand that men and women are different. You're supposed to, like hands, supposed to complement one another. You understand? Back in the day, it was like men, they took care of the money and the finances in the house, right? But today, it's different. You've got accountants, you've got women. Because back then, men were using their physical strength to take care of the home. We're now thinking back to dinosaurs and whatever days, right? You have bows and arrows and stuff, and the mother used to, you know, used to be at home. But now things are different. But the thing is, things can still work if you understand the word of God. Patience is one of the key things you need. Listen, I've been married 30-something years. Has it been all rosy? Absolutely not. I know when I married my wife, I knew she could talk. No, when I say she could talk, she could talk. If you know me, if I'm in a gathering, I'm more the quiet one. Even though you might see me on stage and doing things like that, I'm more of the quiet. But my wife, she's the life of the party. He knows her, you know. But I'm one of those. I've learned. You complement one another. You understand? I might be good with money, or she might be good. Sit down and discuss these things. Before you spend money, have a plan. Because money usually is part of the problems, or part of where problems come into marriage. And unfortunately nowadays, sad to say, a lot of people want a ready-made microwave life set. And that's not the case. God did things for a purpose. God didn't put man on this earth. God didn't put man on the, God didn't make plants and flowers to grow until he put man on the earth. In short, man is here to manage. So whether you gather all the assets, that's the reason when you die, you don't take anything with you, right? And that's one of the things you need to know about life, is that have an understanding between you and your partner. I'm just going to read something here from about pray mothers. A mother's prayers can shape destinies and open doors that human effort cannot. I'll say that again. A mother's prayers can shape destinies, open doors that human effort cannot. I was speaking about Hannah earlier on. And if you go to the book of Samuel 1, the Bible says that Hannah prayed and dedicated God. So after many years that she didn't have any children, when Samuel came along, she said, "Lord, I give him back to you." That's basically what it was. "I'll give him back to you." Why? Because you know God had heard her prayers. Every mother should take the time out to pray for your children. I have three children. I have two girls and a son. My son is in between. And boy, oh boy, when he started dating, I tell you, that was a challenge. I remember he was going out with a particular lady back then. All was good. And it's like anything, you give them the opportunity, right? You just watch from a distance. And we just noticed certain things that we thought were not right. And we sat him down and spoke to him. "We don't think this is right. Don't think this is right." I mean, it got to a point where I remember one day my son, you know, he would push the car out of the driveway without starting the car so that we wouldn't hear the car, right? Where was he going? He was going about 2 hours to go and visit whatever. And after we spoke and spoke and nothing happened, my wife was upset. Not well. We went into the closet and we started praying. And I think maybe after maybe about 6 months or so, he came to us and said, "Well, you know, that's dissolved. We've left things amicably." The thing is, when we challenged him, obviously he's going to be uptight, right? He's going to be defensive. And that's exactly what happened. But what I realized was, going back to the Word of God, every morning, every evening, you know, we didn't tell him we were praying for him, but that's what we did. And before you knew it, things changed. And this is what I've been teaching people over time, that prayer changes things. I remember R. Kelly's song. A lot of people don't like to talk about R. Kelly, but I was telling people, someone the other day, I said, if someone that never knew R. Kelly listens to his songs now about prayer changing things, do you think it would change them or not? It would. There's something about music. There's something about positive speaking that inspires and lifts people. So what I'm saying to you today, especially the mothers, and I'm talking to the fathers as well, have time out, have devotion, intentional devotion. My children, the other day I heard my son praying, and the thing is, because we've taught them from young, heard my son praying in the bathroom, right? Listening to messages. Now, he's 27 now, right? But he's so focused, he's so engaged. Why? Because he's gone back to what we taught him originally, right? All his friends are going clubbing, all his friends are doing whatever. He's taking a step back. And just like me, he's musically inclined. Some of his music, okay, right, I beg to differ, but it's one of the, what I'm trying to say is that don't force your children into what you think they should be, right? A lot of us, I knew my dad growing up, "You're going to be a doctor," as I said, "going to be whatever." Doctor wasn't my thing. And I even did engineering, completed my engineering just because of my dad. But when I finished, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do IT consultancy and all that kind of thing. But what I'm trying to say is that watch your children as they grow. You start to identify certain things in them and start to put it into prayer. All right? As mothers, you are the ones, I know you work, you go home, things can be tough, but keep an eye on your children. Don't let them have unlimited access to the internet. Because what's happening is the internet is teaching your children the things that should not be. I keep telling people that, listen, internet is a fantastic thing, but it gets into the hands of the wrong people, it's not. But if you can, my younger brother, for instance, I mean, I say he's my younger brother, he's about 50, but my younger brother, for instance, He has access to all his two children's access to their Wi-Fi and all those things, even though they're in boarding house, right? So he monitors everything. Why? He doesn't want the world to teach his children what against what he's praying about, what he's teaching them, right? So you've got to seize the opportunity. And here's the thing. As I said, my children, my firstborn, she's what, 31 now. But when she was born 6 months early. So she was premature. So we were immediately thrown into a position that, why is this happening to us? Why has God done this? But we didn't realize that God was teaching us something. Because after that, because my wife went through a lot, it's not, I mean, if you have a child that's born at that age, they say that, you know, they're going to have all these issues and whatever. She doesn't have a single thing. We thank God for that, right? And she's doing well. What I'm trying to say is that staying in prayer is important, even when you don't see it happening. Remember Elijah, and remember Elisha. Remember when he prayed for rain, and he told his servant to go and check. It took 7 times. Does that mean he wasn't a child of God? It teaches you consistency. It's like somebody that goes to the gym. You don't get a six-pack by just sitting at home and, you know, doing your dumbbells and whatever. No, you have to have a strategy. You have to eat the right food. And that's the same thing in life. If you want to be successful, like the 1%, there are certain things you must not do. You sit with them, and I happen to have a couple of mentors who have made it up there. And when you sit with them, there are certain things they do not do. Some of them don't even sleep 6 hours a day. Yet, they've got the money and everything else they're doing, right? What I'm trying to say to you is that we have the opportunity, because we are Christian, born again, Bible reading. The key thing is you must read your Bible. The Bible says study the Word of God, Book of Joshua. Study the Scriptures. Then you will make your way prosperous and be successful. Same thing with your careers. If you don't study, you cannot get to the height of your careers. You have to, and that's the same thing. You've got to take a step back. If you, like today, if you look at yourself and say, right, I'm not where I should be. What should I do? Take a step back. Write out the things that you desire and that you want. And as you write those out, because that's the same thing we taught our children every year. They write out their goals, they write out their object, what they want. And every week we go over them as a family saying, where are we now? Why? We're not leaving anything to chance. I read something because I put a project out, a music project out the other week, and I was reading something and it said, people that go viral, it's not by chance. There's some algorithms that if you adhere to, things will go viral. And I thought to myself, that's true of the Word of God. If we stick with certain scriptures, if we stick with them, whether it's illness or sickness or it's finances or it's a home. I remember when we bought our first five-bed house in Hertfordshire. I remember back then, nobody was buying it, but my wife had a dream. I wasn't at that place. My wife was ahead of me by far, you know, because she came from a background. I came from a, what can I call it? My mom was more of an educator. My dad was an engineer, but they were business people. They were those kind of people that, right, okay, we're going to make $1,000. And you think, how are you going to do it? But what I'm trying to say is that they would take a step back. And my wife said, we want that. She started to visualize things. We bought one house. We hadn't even spent a week. And said, oh, there's another house around there. We hadn't even moved all our furniture in. But her vision was always that we're going to do better than where we are now. And that's exactly how God wants. And God is telling you, don't think small. Don't think small. You've got dreams. You've got desires. Don't think small. Stand on those words and just believe God to lift you beyond where you are. Amen? Amen. To God be the glory. Amen. Let me just read this one more, two more scriptures. Right. Mothers can protect and preserve destiny. God sometimes uses mothers to protect the future of their children. If you remember Moses in the Bible, you remember that a law was given there that the boys were going to be killed and all this kind of thing. And the mother of Moses then put him in a, she was a Levite woman, when she became pregnant and gave birth, she put him in a basket. And you know the story. Yeah, Pharaoh's relations found him and whatever else. The bottom line here is that mothers can protect and preserve their children's destiny. How? How? By knowing, put it like this, a lot of us are wise enough to know what is wrong and what is right, yeah? And if that's the case, all you need to do is instill it into your children. You don't leave it to chance. I know there's a chap that was living in South London, I've forgotten his name now, it escapes me. He was into music, and I remember his parents intentionally moved him out of South London because they saw the groups and the gangs that were around him, right? They made a decision that, you know what, we want the destiny of our child to be different. And that's exactly how it is with every one of us. Identify what is right and what is wrong, and move that forward and make things happen for your children. We are the ones, as I said before, we are the ones, the good, the bad, the ugly, we learn from them all. And as parents, that's why we need to set good examples. Be slow to anger. Don't be that husband that, you know, gets annoyed or gets irritated easily, because your children are watching and they can follow suit. To God be the glory. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Right, I'll just round up with this last scripture, closing charge. Motherhood carries incredible spiritual power. Behind many great men and women of God stands a faithful mother who prayed, taught, and sacrifice. Mothers have the ability to influence generations, shape destinies, and partner with God in fulfilling divine purpose. Let us honor mothers and encourage them to embrace their God-given role with faith and prayer and dedication. And I'm going to close with this scripture, which is Proverbs 31 and 30. It says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.